Thank you, Cindy. But you didn't expect to see me today, did you? Let me just, before I begin the sermon proper, let me just mention, because a number of people have asked what the heck I'm doing these days. I am doing actually a number of things. This is actually the fourth week in a row I'm preaching. Not the same sermon. And by the way, these are not canned sermons that I went to the old file cabinet for and got them. So let you know, I've been working at this really hard here. I'm going to be, as of in a week or two, I'll be the chair of the District Committee on Ordained Ministry. And also am one of about five people who are on what's called the District Disaffiliation Discernment Team that goes around to churches in the Southwest District of the United Methodist Church, helping them, guiding them as much as we can through the process of disaffiliating from the United Methodist Church for the specific reason of human sexuality. And so there are some churches that just cannot abide with decisions that have been made. And we're finding a way to release them with a particular process involved. And so in the meantime, we've gone almost to the Mississippi River and Tuesday night we'll be going to Judah, Wisconsin. How many know where Judah is? Oh, some of you do, all right. And just all around the Southwest area and at each church at least a couple times. And so it's been, I would say, about half of the nights in September and now November have been at those meetings with people and hearing their anger and at the same time trying to help them through the process. So it has been good, I guess. And anyway, that's kind of what I've been doing. Let's join together in prayer. Wonderful God, speak to our hearts. Help us hear through these little jottings some thoughts for this day, for this first Sunday of Advent, a time of new beginnings, a time of raw realities, a time of what we call the messiness of life. And help us to know, O God, that you will never absolve your presence with us in spite of all of the messiness. Amen. One of my teachers was actually one of the people on a committee who originally formed what's called the Revised Common Lectionary, the series of readings that are suggested, not demanded, but suggested as possibilities for the service and for preaching during a three-year cycle of sermons or worship. And I almost got the feeling that he and the rest of the committee must have been following the advice of a great movie director who once said, start with an earthquake and build to a climax. Start with an earthquake and build to a climax. Because Advent begins, today begins, the first Sunday of a new year begins, not with a little baby, not as an infant or anything like that, but rather it comes with, strange, hard to fathom, hard to comprehend cosmic forces that are at play about this. And it's not even about the first coming of Jesus at Bethlehem. It's about the second coming of Jesus. Go figure that. It's almost like they've got things figured out wrong. And the passage that Cindy shared with us from Mark's gospel is There's no other word to call it but apocalyptic. Apocalyptic. It's by definition looking at the very end of the world, the end, the kind of final wrap-up of history. And apocalyptic sometimes will involve more specific dating, like soon. Paul, the letter writer, for example, thought that it could happen in a couple of weeks, as far as he knew. So be prepared. So that's what we're talking about on this first Sunday of Advent. But I'd like to remind you that, unfortunately, the church, some pastors, some evangelists, have sort of, I think, this is my opinion, have sort of misused these apocalyptic passages to kind of scare people into heaven, creating the fear of God in them, literally, so that they wind up being a follower of Christ. But rather, more and more, as the years go by, I begin to realize that these kind of scary scripture readings that we call apocalyptic material is intended really to bring hope, especially hope for a very desperate people. I cannot help but recall one of my teachers saying that the Gospel of Mark was, in his opinion, written either during or immediately in the aftermath of the fall of Jerusalem in the year 69 or 70 AD. That was his considered opinion. And it would make sense that there is this emphasis here on what's going to happen at the very end, because it seemed like when your city is under siege and the Romans are outside the city, not allowing people to leave and go, capturing the water supply, it seems apocalyptic in a very literal sense. So we have these words as words of hope to people who are desperate. And I remind you that I don't know about each one of you, but I know in Wanakee, and I know in other places here in Dane County and all over the world, that there are people who are desperate, people who are not sure what's going to happen next to them in their life. And that's the task of the church, to minister to that, as I know you have and you are, but also to offer that hope in the way in which you live your life. Advent is a time for hope. The intent of apocalyptic, the scary material, is oddly enough to bring hope to the people who are really in need. And it's a time of telling the truth. No lies, no spin, no false news or anything like that. It's a time for being brutally honest. That hope really only occurs on soil that is pure in what is being told and what is being shared. It's about our weariness, about our anxieties, about being honest about that. And that's where hope can ultimately come. I have to tell you, quite honestly, that our home, our condominium, is, it always is, a little bit, around this time of year, a little messy. I think because we don't decorate a lot, but we do decorate for Christmas. And it's probably around that, because of bringing out decorations, we realize what's there right now and what kind of condition it's in right now, right? And so Jane and I are both, I'm trying to get rid of some more books. Jane has some tubs of material that she's sorting through that basically are kind of leftovers from her parents' funerals. And but they just stood there. You know how, I don't, you probably, you've all experienced moving or just putting things away and kind of putting them out of mind. And lo and behold, 10 years later, they're still there. Nobody's touched them. And that's kind of what we're doing right now. And in a real way, that's kind of a metaphor for life in a way. Not that we're all slobs like we are, but that things are never as we want them to be, or never as we picture them in our dreams of how they should be. Because we'll never match up to that, will we? We never can match up to that. And so the scripture reading from Mark kind of pulls back the curtain of our lives, the way we really live them. All of our faults, all of our shortcomings, our inabilities to dust as we really think we should or have been told we should. To know that even in the midst of those kind of messy lives that we lead, God's there. And thank God, God is, because in a certain sense, our lives will never be unmessy. Our lives will never be neat, let's put it that way. Because we're not God, I guess, right? And so my conviction is that God still comes in the midst of our lives, wanting to be a part of them, even though we may not always be open to that because we feel as though we're not good enough. We haven't done the right things. We've done bad things. And we don't deserve God's love. Mark's Jesus wants to reassure his disciples that despite the difficulty of what they're facing right now, the difficulties that they're facing, that hope is coming. That justice is coming. That equity is coming also for them. And that our job as disciples of Jesus Christ is to be vigilant, it's to be on the watch for God, to be on the watch for those very people with whom we minister, even when they and even when we feel helpless. Because, friends, through us, God remains active in this world of ours. God remains at work in this world. And Mark's gospel begins and ends with this very idea of the power of God that's on the loose. Mark's gospel is unique that way. Mark's gospel does not have any birth story about Christmas Eve at the manger. It doesn't have the three wise guys coming to offer their gifts. It doesn't have the genealogies that Matthew and Luke have about where Jesus came from and where he descended from. It doesn't have that philosophical rant that John's gospel has about, you know, the Word is God and the Word was with God and all of that. It doesn't have that. It begins right away with God empowering Jesus at his baptism, saying, this is the one, go preach. And that's what happens essentially right after his baptism. Or at the end of the Gospel of Mark, for that matter, when he's facing death, he's breathing his last, that curtain in the temple is torn in two. And on Easter morning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary are told this. They said, he has been raised. He's not here. Go tell his disciples that he is going ahead of you. God is active in this world. Something is happening with Jesus even after Easter morning. So in these Advent days, let me remind you that the power of God and the presence of God is already here. It's not here. It's not for any one of us, pastor or lay, to invoke God's presence. God's already here. We just need to celebrate it. We just need to appreciate it. And we need to respond in our lives because of it. In the midst of pandemics, in the midst of a flu season, in the midst of this respiratory concern that's going around, especially with young people, concerns for justice, racial justice, and gender justice. Last week, Jane and I attended at First Church downtown a land acknowledgement ceremony with the president of the Ho-Chunk Nation, Chief White Eagle, and Elliot Funmaker, his name is. The mayor of Madison was there, Bishop Jung and Amanda, before she got sick, was there, our district superintendent. And it was really a revelatory event in which we began to see that despite our differences in background, there are some things that we can come around and be joined together with. It was a good event, and I think God was there in a very unique way. Just like I think God is there in a unique way in this disaffiliation process I was sharing with you earlier. That I think in some ways our church, the United Methodist Church, will be stronger as a result of it, of those churches that decide to leave the United Methodist Church. But to keep watch, to be present in any given moment, to pay attention to those places where God's being born or residing at any given moment. Because life is messy. Life is life, right? And each of our lives are that way. We don't know one from another where our messiness resides, but since we're human beings, we can all assume that it's there. And it was in Jesus' time as well. You know, I shared with you the situation that his people were facing with an onslaught of Romans in Palestine. They didn't know what their future was portending at all. But be present. Be ready. And don't be ready to close any future on your future or God's, because that presence is there for you and with you and will be there to sustain you. Amen.